saved to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And it's good to see all of you here tonight. Let's see here what I got here. Is that on now? And so anyhow, I just want to say that I appreciate you and your faithfulness down through the years and being honest before God. You know the hardest thing in the world to do is preach to empty pews. But they make as much noise as you're making. And all that business right there. It's good to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. You know, we live in a day and an hour, and I'm not a big noise maker myself. You know, in the day we live in, I've been to some of these meetings where they wanted to shout and run the aisles, have a good time. I'm not against any of that. But let me just tell you, most of the time, shouting is nothing but a distraction. It's not an attraction as much as it is a distraction. Especially, you know, if you can shout on Sunday, you ought to be in the house of God on Sunday night. God bless you. Thank you very much. That is, unless one of your kids is playing ball or something. That's the kind of world we live in. I mean, that's sad, but that's so. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. Matthew chapter 15, about verse number 14. There's a passage there that we ought to be looking at. In verse number 14, chapter 15. The Bible said, let them... you can stand, I'm sorry. The Bible said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again here in the house of God. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free is our prayer. And we'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to talk a little while about blind leaders of the blind. You know, a blind man don't know where he's going, does he? And let me tell you right now, if another blind person's following another blind person, they're going to end up at the same spot, but neither one of them know where they're headed. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out we want to be something more on the ball than that. We want to be able to follow somebody that knows where they're going, why they're going, and who they're going when. You know, everybody's following somebody. In the day and hour that we're living in, sometimes it's a friend. Sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes you'll find out it may be a movie star. Sometimes you'll find out it could be a ball player, a politician. Sometimes it could even be a preacher. Paul the Apostle said, follow me as I follow Christ. And let me tell you, there's no such thing as following the Lord outside of following the Word of the Lord or following the leader that's following the Word of the Lord. It's very simplifying. In this lesson that you're looking at, that our loyalty is that which is unto Christ. Over there in the book of James, there's a passage there, don't turn there, but in chapter number 2 and about verse number 9, he said, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. Did you know that? In other words, if you'll condemn in one person, what you won't say nothing about if it's your buddy, that's sin. You see, as a result, that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find that in the day and hour that we're living in. And by the way, sin's a bad thing. It'll destroy your life, mar you up, this and that. Here's what you'll find most of the time up and down the road of life. If you're saved tonight, we're glad your past is under the blood. You may have even messed up along the way, and we're glad that's under the blood. But the Bible said that if you sin willfully after you come to the knowledge of something, there remains no more sacrifice. If you're going ahead presumptuously sin, you're going to pay for that. It's that very simple. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out we'd better stand on the Word of the Lord. And when I say stand on the Word of the Lord, I'm talking about against everybody and everyone and everything and every... it doesn't matter if it's your spouse. It doesn't matter if it's your whole house, if your children, your grandchildren, so forth and on. Is that if you're going to stand with the Word of the Lord, then you're going to have to be sure that you can't play favoritism even with those in your own family. Now, let me just tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that the Bible said, the Apostle Paul said, be ye therefore followers of God, Ephesians 5, verse 1. And as we follow the Lord, make no mistake about it, He said, "He follows me also as I am of Christ." Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, and charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You ever hear anybody pray and it sounded phony? You ever hear anybody preach and it sounded phony? You ever hear anybody shout and it sounded phony? They're not calling on God out of a pure heart. You can tell when God's on something and when God's not on something. It's not our job to be able to set ourselves up as little judges and to go to, because then that's all you'll be good for, and you'll judge anything and everything and everybody but yourself. And one of these days, the great judge is going to return unto this earth again. In this Bible lesson, let me say to you, the Bible said that this word is the final authority. Over there in the book of Isaiah, do not turn there, chapter 8, verse number 20. It said, "According to the law of the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them." In this lesson we're looking at, you'll find in the book of Romans, the Bible said in chapter 3, verse 4, "Let God be true and every man a liar." I say all the time, and I mean this, I don't mean it to be ugly, but I do mean it, and it's going to sound ugly. I'm real disturbed in the day and hour of which that we live in when it comes down to people that are in the military, that people that are in the armed forces, not only them, in the military of any branch that you can mention. I feel about those that are in the Highway Patrol Department. I've said over and over again, those that are in the Texas Parks and Wildlife. I'm talking about everybody that's a sheriff and a deputy. They seem like they've got the air that what they do in service to their community is going to be good enough to get them to heaven. And they're not. That's not going to be. Isn't that going to be a sad day when the Lord shall come again and all the lawmakers are lawbreakers and have to go to a devil's hell because of the fact they received not the love of the truth that you might be saved? I say this without hesitation. My family, it's more important for them to be able to have me and worshiping God, being in the house of God, than it is to be able to arrest the most desperate criminal up and down the road of life. I don't care how many we arrest, there's going to be another one. I realize that, oh, there might be an auction that is sometime that's beyond our control. But let me tell you right now, is, dear friend, that we ought to recognize and know is that these excuses that the world and the flesh and the devil have always given us, one of these days that's going to fizzle out. This Bible said over in the book of Revelation chapter number 2, the church at Ephesus, there were those that claimed they were apostles, that claimed they were Christians, and they were not. And he said, "And you have found them to be liars." And I got to tell you right now, is that when you go to examining things pretty closely, you're going to find out that there are some things every now and again that are wrong. But make no mistake of difference how little or wrong it may or may not be. It's going to be magnified whenever it shines the word of the Lord onto it. In this lesson we're looking at, you're going to find out that in chapter number 15 of this text, look in verse number 13, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Do you know in verse 12, he got through and the disciples said, "Don't you know, Lord," he said, "the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying." And then he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." I got to tell you right now, the whole essence is this here, that a lost man hadn't been planted by the Lord, a lost woman hadn't been planted by the Lord. Listen, we live in a world of lost preachers, we live in a world of lost teachers, we live in a world of lost followers. Now, let me tell you, it's easy to jump on somebody else's bandwagon that's gotten away from God. And let me say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into it, that you'll find that somebody, you may be following them, they may be on some bandwagon of somebody else. They might be on somehow or another, you realize it, though. They might be on the buddy plan following. And you'll find lots of that in the day and hour that we're living in. Is that here's how you can tell it. Here's how you can tell if you're on the buddy plan or not. If somebody says something against one of your favorite and you try to defend them, but you get the lock jaw and put the brakes on when they're talking about somebody you care about, but you can run and nearly about shout whenever it's not somebody you really particularly care about. That's what you call absolutely getting to the place where you're showing favoritism unto that person or unto that groom. Let me say to you, there are people that follow the billfold. I was telling you about over in Louisiana, and there's a group there, it's probably good people that got caught up in a bad thing, and they decided because of the fact that they had a little bit of money. And let me tell you right now, honey, I got a little money. Oh, I've laid it on the dresser. I was going to show it to you, but I don't have it with me in here. I got to tell you, though, I've got some money. I know it was at least 75, 80 cents that I pulled out of this one pocket here and laid in there. Of course, I don't want to reveal where I live. Somebody will break in and steal that. But you know, this couple here that was great left people crying when they left. I mean, people loved them and cared about them. And they left that church there in tears. And let me tell you, the reason being is they felt like they were following their billfold and said, y'all are going to have a hard time making it without us. I got news for you, honey. I preached when it wasn't nothing but my wife and these little old kids. And you know, we'd get them up and sing. Now, of course, back then I could pick the guitar a little bit. And they'd sing and all of that business there. And let me tell you, whoever else showed up, and buddy, we reared back and let it rip. Sometimes I was a little bit afraid, you know. I thought, well, maybe like the old man they tell the story about, and he is a farmer, and of course the preacher got up there, man, he preached up one side and down the other, preached on every sin that he could mention, preached some of it twice, and finally, whenever the old farmer, when it got through, the preacher said, well, thanks for coming, I sure did enjoy you being here. And he said, what do you do? And he said, well, I raise cattle. And he said, but I'm going to tell you something. He said, I've got about 100 head, and it takes quite a bit to feed them. But if I gather together to feed them cows, and not but one of them shows up, I don't give them all the hay that I've had in the barn. I just give them a portion for themselves. Let me tell you right now, that's probably a good rule of thumb to be able to follow. Remember them collars that used to button down there, had the little white button? Some of you may not, but some of them old-timey shirts there, they had a little white button. And a preacher, you know, he used to use them Tic Tacs, them little bitty white, looked like a white pill. And he'd put one of them in. He knew whenever it melted down, he'd be done preaching. It'd take about 30 minutes for it to be able in his mouth to dissolve. And then he knew that somehow or another that he's going to be done. And so you talk about, buddy, ripping it up one side and back down the other side. After about 45 minutes, an hour, his mint was still in his mouth. And unbeknown to him, it was one of them little white buttons that fell off into his pocket, and that's what he had stuck in his mouth. He finally, after an hour and a half, said, hey, listen, folks, I apologize. I'm just not prepared, I guess, because my mint's still the same size it was when I started. I got to tell you something right now. We need a better system somehow or another. The word of the Lord is not going to be changing. It's settled in heaven, if you will, please. And you and I had better follow the Bible instead of anybody else that we can think of up and down the road of life. If the blind lead the blind, we've read, they're both of them going to head the same direction. And guess what? They're going to both end up at the same place. Damnation awaits them, and they're going to be falling in the ditch. Now, I want to say to you that whenever you look into the Bible, while you turn to one passage we'll be looking at over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 28, whenever you look into the Bible, recognize this, and God said to this crowd there, leave them alone, let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they're going to both end up in the ditch. And let me say to you, there's just a certain amount of people you're not going to change. I don't care who you are and where you are and how sincere that you may or may not be. In this Bible lesson we're looking at over in Deuteronomy in chapter number 28, there's a passage there that I want us to look at, and it's in verse number 27. We'll take up reading there, Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Now the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with an itch there whereof that thou canst not be healed. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? How'd you like to have an itch, and how'd you like to have a sore, and how'd you like to have a rash? How'd you like to have something that just cannot be healed and cannot be eased? Verse 28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness, and astonishment of heart. Thou shalt, notice this, grope at the noonday as a blind gropeth in the darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. I want to say to you that, if you will, that's got to be a bad condition. And when you get to the place where that you're groping and just feeling your way around, trying to find the answer, let me tell you, the answer's not in feeling. The answer's in faith, God-given faith, that you might repent toward God and by faith believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find there's been a lot of people up and down the road that have been duped somehow or another by gifts that have blinded them. I like what old Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 12, don't turn there, but he reminds all of them, I've not been bought, I've not been bribed, I've not been paid off by things that are in this world. That's what he said. He preached the word of the Lord. Now, in closing tonight, let me say to you, Jesus is the answer to whatever may plague you up and down the road of life. And look in chapter 15 of our text, back over there in Matthew chapter number 15, and look, if you will, please, in the passage there, it's about verse number 29. Jesus departed thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and he went up to a mountain, and he sat down there, and there were great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet and healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed whole, and the lame walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now I want to say to you, as we get ready to close, I like to read about old blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter number 10, and I like to be able to read about the fact there's a man sitting on the highway side begging. There's a guy that knew exactly what he wanted. Wasn't in the bargaining business whatsoever. Here's a man that absolutely wanted to be able to have mercy that came from God and be able to receive his sight. And really and truly, that's all we need. We just need mercy, and we just need to be able to see and to be able to head the right direction. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. I went through all the motions when I was but a kid, and I don't remember exactly how old, 7, 8, 10, whatever it was. And I remember when going to Sunday school on Sunday morning, going to church on Sunday morning, going to church on Sunday night, going to church on Wednesday night. And as a result of that, we had a preacher deader than 10 o'clock. And as I remember all of that business, I can remember getting up, walking down the aisle and saying, I want to be saved. I didn't get saved. I said that. I knew what to say. But at the age of 24, I had somebody on the inside of me that kept knocking on my heart's door and enlightening to me that I was lost and undone and hell-bent and hell-bound without God. And God granted me repentance, and God gave me faith to be saved by the wonderful grace of God. Now, I want to tell you something, is that I surrendered to preach a week later. Not everybody does that, but I can tell you what, I was saved in an instant. And make no mistake about it, is that when I walked down that aisle the next week and said, I believe God's called me to preach, the preacher said, well, you just got saved last week. I said, yes, sir, I think all preachers ought to be saved first. He couldn't argue with that, could he? Couldn't argue with that. He's probably been dead and in heaven a long time now. But I got to say to you that, if you will, please, is that God's still the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow and when he comes again. I don't know about you, but I'm looking with great anticipation to the trump of God sounding, the dead in Christ rising, and we which are alive and remain to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to be found busily occupied about his business when he comes again. When he comes again. Now, I don't know when he's going to come. A lot of people have predicted it and this and that and showed themselves to be fools. Listen, let me just tell you this, is that, and I'm done, Charles Hatton Spurgeon, he was a preacher, a real preacher back in his day, and somebody at the school, the preacher school that he had, they asked him, Mr. Spurgeon, do you believe Jesus is going to come today? Mr. Spurgeon looked and said, I think not. Oh, they were amazed at him as they looked. You don't think Jesus is coming today? No, sir, he said, because the Bible said, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I can tell you, I don't want him to catch me off guard, do you? Well, you better be on guard then. See, you better be on guard every minute, every hour of the day. When you wake up, when you go to bed tonight, you ought to thank God for the privilege. When you wake up in the morning, thank God for the privilege. See? And as a result of that, you'll find out that our Lord and our Savior is worthy to be praised from daylight to dark and thereafter and back to daylight again. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to thank you for loving us. Now save